In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're not mad at me, Grandy. You're mad at PFF. You're mad at Pro Football Focus.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say he's necessarily mad at anybody. I do think that he's feeling a little bit threatened and violated by your judgmentalism over his grades. Well, ask him to do something and he does a great job.
He's fine. We just disagree.
Wait a minute.
He's coming down your road, Grandy.
We're going to do Grandy's grades.
He's wrong. It's fine.
You're going to grade his grades.
Wait a minute. Why are we doing them? We're doing them so that we can just sit there and go, okay. Mike, the whole point is to discuss it.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I feel like you're...
And I already told you, I'm mad at me. Yeah. I'm mad at me for not making a bigger deal out of this yesterday. That's my bad.
You turned a lot a little bit yesterday. I was surprised.
Well, I let it go. I let it go.
Yeah.
I did. That Adele Dazeem, I let it go.
Thank you. And then you circled back around.
I did.
You're wickedly talented.
Yeah. It's tough, though, because we can't really spend 4 days of like, boy, wasn't that swell? Gee, this Niner team.
We've done it for 12 years with Steph Curry.
Well, that's because, they've won four titles. And it's harder in a football week. It's easier to look at things and go, oh, that could have been better, and that could have been better. And, you know, once you look at the film, Mark, you have a little bit of a better idea.
How does this hit you, Willard? So okay. I grade seven different groups. One of them is quarterback. The lowest grade I gave out, B+. That's right. What I gave Brock Purdy. The worst group of 49ers was the quarterback. How does that make you feel?
That's inflammatory. Mm-hmm.
Probably the worst 49er that game.
It's clearly incorrect. That's what I'm saying. That's why I would show up to office hours.
Come on.
No, it's not going to work. All I'm going to tell you is this obvious to me that when you look at this situation, there's two ways to look at it. If you want to grade it based on its wow factor or how it popped, you're not going to give him an A. But if you want to grade the assignment that was given, it's clearly an A. It's clearly an A. And it's September, which means school is not that old. And you know what's happening all over the country? Week one, week two, and week three assignments are being given out. And they're freaking easy. And you should be able to get an A. And all you got to do is do the assignment. But if you give out that week one assignment, and it's like, okay, kids, here's your first math assignment. I want you to go home and review last year and do your flashcards. Remember, what's 5 times 3, kids? And that kid comes back in 2 seconds, like it's 15. And the teacher's like, you're right, but there wasn't a lot of pizzazz with the way you said it to me. So you get a B.
Well, this is not as easy as 5 times 3. You're oversimplifying.
Actually, yes, it was.
This is more of an algebra problem, and you got to show your work. And he showed his work, and there was, you know, a couple of minuses where there should have been a plus. And so you get a little point there, and
that
you get
the red pen out. That was an Ottoman
game. You get
a
point there.
Dude, your feet were up the whole day. Your feet were up the whole game.
That was
you
there,
said
Coach.
It. I know.
Can't put no feet up in the press box, by the way. You got to sit properly.
Come over to where I was sitting.
Your whole argument here is just feeding into the Brock Purdy has an easy job and he's a product of the system because he hasn't been asked to do that much.
I'm talking about this game. I do think he's been asked to do a lot. Somehow people seem to be forgetting what has happened over the last year. One of my favorite listeners who's always interactive on YouTube, Chicago Jason, he just said, the only question I've got left is whether or not Brock Purdy can come from behind with a drive with 2 minutes to go. You didn't watch the Green Bay playoff game?
That was 6 minutes to go.
It's all the same difference.
I get what he's
saying.
It's
your final drive, and you need a touchdown. Can you go get it in a big moment?
You've got a 1-3 and no timeouts, and you're on your own 30, that's tougher than when you have 2 timeouts and 6 minutes to go.
How much time was left in Cleveland when you needed a field goal?
Probably about 3 minutes, I think.
I think it was even less.
Yeah, I can see and how far they had to go.
Did he get him in field goal range or not? In the driving rain against the top defense?
Yeah, not close enough, well, unfortunately.
I mean, whose fault is that? The special teams player of the week, he gets an F for that performance.
Yeah, he sure did that week, for sure.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that this is true every week. I'm simply saying it's true this week. I thought Brock was fantastic in this football game.
He was good.
Because he was there were next to zero mistakes, and there were no big mistakes. There were none.
And we're going to go to the phones, I know, but your analogy of an assignment is a good one, but it was slightly off kilter because it's not as simple as math. This is more of an essay. And he was asked to write a four-page, four-quarter essay, and it was good. Not the level of vocab you were looking for, and there was a dangling participle that was in there. So you get a B+. Nice little effort.
There was no dangling participle. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Saubert. No. Guy almost died.
One throw.
Hospital. Jimmy G. It was a Jimmy Ono throw, according to my sources in the press box.
Yeah, you were sitting with Bonte.
Baby!
Jay is calling and apparently is working right now with a chainsaw. I mean, you want to talk about threatening. Good Lord. I give you a 3 for your chainsaw.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Jay, what are you doing?
I give you a B+.
Thank you.
Oh, perfect. Hi.
Hey. Yeah, I'm actually, I'm trying to do some work for a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I'm doing
How's it going, Jay?
Oh, man. I'm dealing with a dad that's like, no, my chainsaw is perfect. I'm like, dude, your chainsaw is not perfect.
Well.
And so that's what,
question is, how will you feel when you're done with that work and your girl gives you a B+?
I'll live with that.
Okay.
There you go.
I will absolutely live with that.
All right. What else, Jay?
Hey, this is the thing, man. And I know maybe you guys see me on YouTube. Hey, look, Brock is awesome. He's awesome. He is really good. But he needs to keep doing what he's doing. And what the Niners got to do is draft a QB every freaking year. Every freaking year. It's the most important position in sports. And think of the trade bait that Brock would bring to the Niners. Oh. All right? So I want us to get over this thing about you got to have a franchise QB. You have to keep them coming in. This is the United States of America. There is so much talent in this country for legit quarterbacks that GMs and scouts will not put their name on. They will not do it because they got to pay tuitions. They got to pay for mortgages.
Yeah.
They will not do it.
Don't forget about Bucks.
Keep it coming.
Jay, yeah. I love you, but I'm getting more confused every 10 seconds right now.
Trade Brock Purdy. Like, thank you, Jay.
Well, and Jay, thank you, and good luck with the chainsaw. Like, have you ever seen a Bears game? Because our entire lives, they haven't had a quarterback. And oh, by the way, I still don't
know.
Steve
Stenstrom, no?
I mean, like, honestly, you cannot. Now, he had me at the beginning, because I actually don't think it's a stupid idea to draft a quarterback every year. Because if you do, well, again.
They're not really good at drafting quarterbacks.
Well.
This one, yeah.
This worked out.
CJ Beathard, sorry. Trey Lance, we're going to trade up and stuff.
Well, there was only one that was drafted to be a starter.
Well, they didn't draft Brock Purdy to be a starter, so you don't get credit for that.
All right. Then they're 0-1. So right. I don't know if I can.
Ghastly 0-1.
Well, absolutely.
That's a strikeout with the bases loaded, and you forgot to bring the bat to the batter's box.
Although they acquired a starter in a different form, and we had 3 years of debate as to whether or not that was a hit.
Beathard was a third round pick. That's a pretty high pick.
Yeah, but it's not drafting to be a starter. It's not like we're going to get our franchise QB. Go look at who got drafted in the third round this year. Anybody who you thought was going to start?
Like, well, maybe not immediately.
No, but it's not what, like, that's not their plan.
And they could have gotten Mahomes in that same draft and didn't.
Russell Wilson was drafted in the third round, and the Seahawks had spent a mint on Matt Flynn the same year because he was supposed to be their starter.
In principle, yeah, draft a quarterback every year and draft him late and see what you have, but that does not go alongside the notion of shop Brock Purdy or get him on the move, because I think that's what Jay was, I got a great idea, man. Trade him.
How high
are you?
Back to work.
Yeah. When they say buy high and sell low.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about right now. So high. Totally. I love him, Jay. Thanks for calling.
Matt in San Jose. What's up, Matt?
How you guys doing, man?
We're good.
I just had a really specific question about the B-plus thing.
Let's hear it.
If Ayuk catches the ball, that is a spectacular play that would fit the criteria of something difficult that would qualify him for an A, correct?
Speak on it, Matt. Granny, you want to take this call? Granny, here. Matt, talk to Granny. Granny, I'm going to turn my mic off. Go.
Say hello.
I just think that the merit should fall on the receivers, and the skilled position group got an A, and he dropped the daggone ball.
That's a good question. If it was a catch or not, I'm still calling B plus grade for Brock Purdy.
That's tough love right there, Matt.
It's a good response.
How does that play not qualify him for that criteria?
Well, I'm just saying Ayuk dropping the ball does not change Brock Purdy's performance in my mind. Purdy did everything right on that play. He put it on the money. His receiver didn't catch it. That's not on Brock. That's already factored into my grade. So you could disagree with my grade, but that doesn't change it for me.
Got you. Okay. I personally give him an A-. I feel you on the no spectacular plays thing. He didn't throw any touchdown passes. I get it. But in a situation where you have somebody running for 146 yards and you got Debo running for a touchdown and you got a whole bunch of other things that are stalling drives that could give Brock the opportunity to qualify for this A in your mind, it just feels like the other position groups should take those demerits than Brock. That's just that's where I'm at, on it.
Great. All right,
thank you, Matt. Do you have anything else to say for yourself?
We just disagree. It's fine. Anytime your team kicks six field goals, I don't think your quarterback should be getting anything more than a B+.
It's a great counterpoint there. And, thank you, Lucas, for your contributions throughout all that. You were magical.
Like there has been no answer for why the wide receiver group got no demerits for Brandon Ayuk's two drops.
I made that point yesterday.
None.
During Granny's grades, I agreed with you. There should have been a notch down for the very fact that Ayuk had two drops.
So if it wasn't for Ayuk's drops, the skill position group would have been an A+. They were incredible otherwise.
So those two drops drop you from an A+ to an A, but Brock's, like, I can't even find the awful mistake, took him from an A+ all the way to a B+.
He wasn't doing anything crazy.
And when you get six field goals and two touchdowns, I think it's hard to go into the A+ category because
Asking for an A+. Yeah, I
well, you
ask
just said
one.
He would go from an A+ to a B+.
His definition is that you started an A+.
He started a C.
Well, no,
is the baseline.
No, you start at a C and then you work your way up.
Then how the hell did the wide receivers get all the way to an A? How?
Skill positions is tight ends and running backs and wide receivers. Jordan Mason ran for 150 yards.
Right, and Brandon Ayuk dropped a touchdown.
And one other pass.
Dropped another play, right?
That's one of a skill group of seven different players.
Do you know that Debo Samuel was supposed to cut off that route? I'm betting he probably wasn't. Just saying. All right. Let's go to Will in the East Bay. Hi, Will. What are you doing?
I'm sitting here watching highlights on another channel. How are you doing today, Will?
Fantastic.
You sound good.
Thanks,
man.
Hey,
listen, I couldn't concur with you more, by the way. I think he deserved an A. Let me tell you something about system quarterbacks, okay? When you get to the end of, the finish line, the greatest system quarterback of all time, okay, who had an incredible team around him on both sides of the line, won many NFL championships and the first two Super Bowls. I'm talking about a guy named Bart Starr. Now, let me talk about production guys, okay? And we're talking about a great quarter. By the way, I'm a former season ticket holder, Raiders season ticket holder. So I'm very, you know, non-biased. Okay.
No, yeah. And astute and well-researched. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know about that. Some stuff. But anyway, you got a quarterback named Dan Fouts who, God, for some reason, I wish would have ended up on the Raiders. John Elway, we all know how close Al Davis got to him. And then a guy that sniffed a Super Bowl win, but didn't win it, never got to another one. Major production numbers in Dan Fouts and Dan Marino. Okay, my point is, it's a catch-22, all right? You play a game like they played the other night, all right? And you got Brock with the hat on, smiling on the sideline. You got Kyle Shanahan probably thinking, I wish I could bottle that game and I could have a game like that all the way to the playoffs and to the Super Bowl. They take it in a second. You know it and I know it, okay? And, you know, you got your haters in the Bay Area and a nitpick and, you know, maybe it's time for a new. We got the perfect guy in there right now with the talent on this team. And by the way, he is very able to step out of the box and be anything but a system quarterback, okay? He throws that ball before the receivers, you know, make their cut or their turn. He is very capable of that. He, in a sense of urgency, if he has to scramble, he can do that and get the first down, okay? And by the way, Willard, I'm glad you stepped off that fence. I love it when you're edgy.
Yeah, edgy Willard.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Will.
Yeah, go ahead, Will. Bring it home, Will. Bring it home, Will.
I love you guys.
Love you too, Will.
Anyway,
thank you.
That's all I got.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Will. He wanted to say something to you.
And the history of the NFL with Will.
Yeah, you kind of jumped him. He wanted to compliment you.
If it was that important, he would have led with it in his 3-minute call.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will made some points there.
He did.
Dan Fouts, St. Ignatius High School.
Correct.
Left Marin Catholic, couldn't hack it after a year.
Oregon Duck,
sources.
Mark Grandy. Yeah.
It's not time for you to curry favor with the Grandy man.
I don't need to.
Yeah.
I don't need to. There's so much in the bank there. I mean, we could fight every day for a year and he'd still ding me whenever I asked.
Did you just make that up that Dan Fouts started MC?
I didn't know that. I did not make that up. I believe he played freshman ball and transferred to SI, and the rest is ongoing history. It's
you
not
believe
complete
that,
history.
Or you know that?
That he couldn't hack it?
No, you said you believe that.
Oh, no, I wasn't
the
there with him.
Freshman ball at MC.
I'm not positive if he played freshman ball, but I know he went there as a freshman.
Okay, great.
And I always say that he couldn't hack it because Marin Catholic looks down on St. Ignatius. And I won't mention Reardon because I don't want Shasky to blow up my phone. I like Reardon.
Is that still the case?
Catholic looks down on that side? Well, not really.
Okay.
Football, they don't want to play us. But, and I say us because I'm an alum, Jared Goff and I. But a lot of the Marin kids who think that they're better than the rest of us by going to SI, no, you're just tacking on 2 hours in the car.
SI took Tam behind the woodshed last week.
In football.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
There you have it.
Hope you got there early, kids.
I can confirm, by the way, sorry to cut you off there. Fouts attended Marin Catholic High School just north of San Francisco in Kentfield, California.
I didn't doubt him.
Not sure if he played football, though, was the real question.
2 years.
Oh, there you have it.
There you go. Okay. Tony in Fremont is next up to rip Mark Grandy. Hi, Tony. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I work in the boonies. Can you guys hear me okay?
You are loud and clear.
All right. Excellent. Hey, as a supervisor in an industry that's not cool like yours, we have to do performance reviews, and you get four in all of these different categories. You get four choices. Needs improvement, meets expectation, exceeds, and outstanding. And I always start with, tell me what the expectations for your job as a project manager are. And they list out all of these great things you have to do because that's your expectation. And I want to make sure no one gets their feelings hurt when they get a meets expectation when they grade themselves an outstanding. So I think this is one of those situations where the expectation for an NFL quarterback, there's only 32 starting jobs. It has to, you have to do something outstanding to earn that A or A plus. Plus, did I hear right? He got an 88 out of PFF.
Yeah, 89 actually. 89.4 was the number.
Yeah, but those are. But Tony, that's a completely different grading system.
Yeah,
that's a completely different grading system. And I'd argue if
out of 150.
No, it's totally. It's totally different. It's completely different. It's not. It's not like that at PFF. It's
100 is the max grade.
Understood. But as you know, it's not based on a grading system in the same form that Grandy's doing it. Like when we all went to school.
It's not 90s an A and 80s a
right,
B. No.
Right.
And if you look at the 49ers, I think we can all agree that the 49ers played a pretty good game.
They did.
Offensively, they only have two players who are above an 80. Trent Williams is 81.6.
And he gave up zero pressures.
Right. Dominic Pooney, we're all raving about how he played, 79.1.
Okay.
So the grade deflation from Pro Football Focus is, it's such that Brock Purdy was number one among quarterbacks. So by a curve, if you graded on a curve,
he was an A plus.
He would get an A.
Yeah. Well, there's, I know, but he if it were Grandy, he was the top guy in the league.
PFF gives him an A plus. Grandy, B plus.
B plus. Yeah. So
I'm rolling Grandy.
By the way, that's fine. I don't care who you roll with, but I'll say this. Like when Tony brings up the idea that like the quote, the baseline, the expectation for an NFL quarterback is that you do what Brock just did. So that's just meeting expectations. You know what I want to get Tony for Christmas? The Red Zone Channel. Cause you ain't seen anybody else QB. If you think that what you saw from Brock on Monday night was a flat line of meeting expectations. If that's the expectation of all NFL quarterbacks, I'd say there are about five in the league. Like quarterbacking was brutal this weekend. You got dudes all over. Have you watched what slightly apparently below meeting expectations is? Did you see Daniel Jones play football?
Well, don't just cherry pick the bones.
No, but I could do this at all. Did you see Joe Burrow?
Pick
you
some, watch, well, they had no weapons.
Did you watch?
So, you could pick.
Jamar Chase didn't play.
Baker Mayfield. How did he play?
He was fantastic.
Great.
I'd give him an A, Tibbs.
Yeah, there you
go. I'd give him an A.
That's hard for
he
you.
He was fantastic. How was Justin Herbert? How is Justin Herbert ever? Has he ever had an A game?
Well, he's going to have a down year this year.
I mean,
if they don't throw the ball.
Well, I had to go to someone who went to Oregon to really get under his skin.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Well played.
Justin Herbert is overrated.
Herbert would get not a very good grade because guess what? They ran the ball endlessly and they didn't even need to do anything through the air. And they have no weapons.
Okay.
He wasn't asked to do much and they won the game. Yeah, Doesn't that mean he should get a good grade?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Like you're completely discounting, I would argue, all of the good throws he makes because you've seen him so many times, you've now decided that these are just run of the mill. And by the way, you want him to make a wild play? He did. He did. And Mr. Missy Camp blew the whole thing up. That was an elite, elite wow throw. And number 11 blew it up.
It's a great route. If it wasn't for 11, that's not even
available.
It's a great
point, Tibbs.
It's a great route by old Mr. Missy Camp,
Mr.
is what you call him?
Mr. Missy Camp.
Not John Mellencamp.
Mr. I don't want to watch the tape because I'm scared of it.
Well, I think it was a horror film.
Yeah, exactly. No.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the Free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.